You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your host, your buddy, your pal, and you're listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're happy you're sharing time with us today. If you want to be part of the conversation, the phone number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text with that number. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. And if you want to get in touch with us, call, text, voice note, listen to us live, get your news, take us anywhere in the world, download the free Civic Media app right now. Put it on your device, put it on your phone, put it on your tablet. We'd love for you to take us with you. You have sent us text messages from all over the world. We've gotten text messages from New Zealand, from Vienna, East Brunswick, Newark, Jersey, all over the world you've taken us, and you can do that too. If you don't already have the Civic Media app, download it where you get your apps. It is absolutely free to put on your device, and then take us with you and share your time with us. And we always appreciate that. Still lots coming up in this second hour, including a conversation with Acme Packing Company writer Paul Noonan about all things sports. We're going to talk about, let's see here, what's going on here. There is a huge news coming out of the Brewers organization. The Packers have lost someone, have kept someone, and they're still not in the Super Bowl, so sorry. But the Bears lost, so that might bring you some comfort. I don't know. And then at the end of the show, to wrap it up, it's a little bit of advice from Greg, from me to you, if you are looking for weight loss drugs. Just a little advice to heed, a warning to take in, but that's later on the show. But right now, we're going to move on to our next guest. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, which is on 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Saturday here on Civic Media. It is like a mini law school every single week for you. I believe if you ask Gene from Eau Claire, he's on episode 183, it would be. But that person is my friend, thespian, lawyer, former U.S. attorney, Mr. Jim Santel. He's a man who wears many hats, and he looks good in hats. Good morning,
right?
Jim.
You know, I try as best I can to... as like Harry Truman, right? He was a haberdasher, I have that word right. And so we'll continue in that good tradition. Greg, always good to be with you and to talk about some of these, again, still breaking things coming out of Washington and other places around our country.
It seems like a lot of things are breaking.
Yes.
Like a lot. Right? So, yeah. But well, let's start it with the U.S. Supreme Court. There was opening statements yesterday. John Sauer was speaking to the justices. Tell us about what was happening and what we're going to be looking at as far as a possible decision from the court come later this year.
All right. So once again, the issue of how much power a president should have back on the docket yesterday, as you indicated, for oral argument. And it didn't go especially well for the government, which is not entirely surprising. This one had to do, as Greg, you and I and others on Civic Media have talked, this had to do with the attempted firing by the president of Lisa Cook. Remember her? Mm-hmm. She's the Federal Reserve governor, and she is still there because the Supreme Court declined to support the president initially. Now we're back on the docket as of yesterday, determining whether or not, or what her position is, whether or not she should be fired permanently. And it appears that the Supreme Court is very reluctant to go along with the president's proposal here. Among the other stunning things that this particular oral argument revealed is you've got the Solicitor General of the United States of America. His name is John Sauer. We've mm-hmm. heard from him before. He's also the one who advocated for this president when he was a private citizen for presidential immunity. And John Sauer, again, third in command at the Department of Justice, got up in front of the Supreme Court yesterday when he was asked, well, gee, what about due process? What kind of due process should Ms. Cook get? Has she been advised of her rights? Has she had an opportunity to contest those? And the answer comes back from John Sauer, the Solicitor General. Well, this is all done on social media. And what? We know that the president said that Cook must resign now, 30 minutes after this fellow named Bill Pute, who's from the Federal Housing Finance Agency, talked about this mortgage issue. And again, we're apparently now litigating in America off of social media. The court was very concerned about the due process aspects there. Certainly Fed independence, that's the big one, right? We always think about that. This is an institution created to be independent for all sorts of economic reasons. Lots of concern about that, including from some fairly conservative justices. There's a question again about whether or not they should be doing any of this on the emergency application docket, which is really where this comes from. Once again, fairly likely that they're going to send this back down to some lower courts to figure out what this is all about, kind of prematurely there. And in the end, Greg, I was pleased by the fact that the Supreme Court was not apparently going to give Donald Trump exactly what he wanted here. But it's also a reflection of something equally important, which is we've got incompetence right now going on at the highest levels of government. And I think a number of the Supreme Court justices, again, including some of the conservatives, were looking at this and saying, what are we doing here? When Sam Alito and Brett Kavanaugh are concerned about process and just don't like this and razor thin records is what they refer to, you've got a problem here. And that's your Department of Justice once again being incompetent. So probably good news whenever this happens. Lisa Cook, at least for now, will probably keep her job. Recognize, however, that there's still this other case out there involving the FTC and Ms. Slaughter. Supreme Court probably will permit the president to fire her. And again, what's going on here, right? How can you reconcile those things? You really can't.
Well, how can you, I guess I would ask your expert opinion on this, is that why good for one and not good for the other? And from what the news was reporting, Ben Bernanke and Jerome Powell were both in the seats yesterday watching this go down. Ben Bernanke, former Fed chair, and Jerome Powell, current Fed chair, because we're talking about the president's ability to fire these individuals. And now what he's just doing to Jerome Powell is just he's going to prosecute him, apparently. But I guess the question I have that I tried to ask 7 years ago, which is why good for one and not good for the other?
And that's exactly what people like Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor and Tanji Brown Jackson are asking. That if we've created all these federal agencies, and again, your listeners know this, we've got federal agencies intended to be independent. Why? Because they do important things like, securities regulation, the SEC, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, all kinds of important things. And the Federal Reserve establishing economic policy, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want any of that hooked into politics. That's the reason why Congress said we're creating them. Yes, presidents can appoint governors and board members, but independent, you don't have authority to tell them what to do. And if that applies here, and again, the question you raise is a head scratcher, why shouldn't it apply across the board? We haven't yet seen the FTC case involving Rebecca Slaughter, but maybe, just maybe, this argument yesterday may have prompted some of the justices to go back and ask that question again. Gee, if we're going to give Lisa Cook permission, rightly, to stay in her position, and she's a part of an independent agency, why are we letting the president fire Rebecca Slaughter, also part of an independent agency? There are some variations you can point to, but there really isn't a good defining principle here. Maybe, just maybe, Supreme Court comes out and says, listen, independent agencies, those mean something, Mr. President, hands off.
Which has been nothing but an attack since he got into office on the checks and balances, separation of power, all those things put forward to really instate the unified executive theory that they've been trying to do for since long before Donald Trump, but they've got their best shot with this guy, and it's been working because they have the courts on their side as well. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Cindy from Appleton is on the phone line. Cindy, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, Cindy.
Good morning. Hey, Jim. Hey, I was wondering if this is a topic maybe you'd want to do a show on. I'm wondering what the Comstock rule and the Lemon Test are all about.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Other Supreme Court principles, I think you need to be a part of either instruction, or maybe you need to be part of a law school, Cindy, so we can chat about that. Important concepts. And all of these things, these kinds of concepts created by the Supreme Court, and yet they've been traditions, right? And they've been principles. We've seen this, a present Supreme Court, take big swings at a whole bunch of longstanding principles like that. Let's put that on our list, and we'll get back to that. lots of good stuff to explore there. Appreciate the great recommendation, Cindy.
Well, and another thing coming, I mean, this is SCOTUS adjacent, if you will, a story that came out that a DOGE team member misused Social Security data, which was given to them by the Supreme Court. And there are some questions here. So can you talk more on that?
Absolutely. Back in the summertime, once again, the emergency docket, the shadow docket, comes up to the Supreme Court, and the president says, we've got to be able to permit the Musk team, to get into all these agencies, including Social Security Administration. The rules, of course, of that from the time that it was created decades and decades ago say hands off. It is private information. It does have medical information in addition to just numbers there. And the Supreme Court says, no, you can go ahead. In a one-sentence order, the Chief Justice says they can be permitted, SSA can permit them access to these materials. Well, dissenting justices say, wait a minute, you're opening this up again. They basically say to the 22-year-olds, and who knows what will happen here. Sure enough, as you just indicated, Greg, appears that two members of the team may have reached out to an advocacy group that's seeking to overturn the election results in certain states, may have provided some information there. We've got a top justice official, yes, her name is Elizabeth Shapiro, saying that there plainly were some disclosures here, and we need to figure out exactly what was done here over and beyond just looking at the information to provide more a greater sense of efficiency, which is what the Musk team's purpose was all about. Apparently, one of them may have signed an agreement that may have involved Social Security data to match state voter rolls. Wild, right? And again, we don't have, not to the bottom of this, but it's a little bit encouraging to know that at least somebody in the Department of Justice looks at this and says, this is not what we intended. We'll see how this plays out. And whether or not these two team members who have not been identified are going to be in some trouble down the road for, again, doing precisely what the dissenters in the Supreme Court said, which is disclosing information. Why did you need this in the first place? Well, it turns out that maybe they were using it for political purposes. And Elena Kagan should be, again, out there today saying, I told you so. This is what happens.
Just
I told you
stirring
so.
Stirring her tea going, amazing how that works. Yeah. Right. The question I would have is this, you know, is this giving information? Do people have a right to possibly sue under having their right of privacy violated? Handed over by the Supreme Court to them, giving away private information. I just feel like there's a place for a conversation on that matter. But we're going to keep talking more with Jim Santel here on the show. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Catch it here on Civic Media. If you can't catch it here, you can listen to episodes by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Catch up on all of the episodes. There's a lot of them, nearly 200. And when you get to 200, we buy you a cake. But we're going to be talking more to Jim after the break. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. Stay warm. You're listening to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your pal, your friend, and you are here today sharing time with us, and we really appreciate you. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can always call, text. The number is the same whether you're doing it. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, we're talking to Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company about all things sports, whether we're talking football, basketball, or big news out of the Brewers organization as of yesterday. He'll be here discussing that. And then to close the show out, some friendly advice from Greg. I just want to talk to you about whether or not you're looking for weight loss drugs and why you should be on the lookout for, quote, discount weight loss drugs. But that's all coming ahead. And do not forget that today, starting at midnight, will be an extreme cold warning going all the way through tomorrow. And then from Friday through Saturday, it will be an extreme cold watch. So it's going to be very windy, very cold, below zero temperatures, way below zero wind chill. So just pack accordingly, dress accordingly. Maybe you want to throw some blankets, a shovel, hand warmers into the car to make sure you are covered just in case, God forbid, a car breaks down. But just want to keep you safe informed. You can find out more by going to civicmedia.us about the weather in your area. But right now we are talking to Jim Santel. He is a former U.S. attorney, currently a practicing attorney. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, which is on every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And we're talking about all things law, all the big stories coming out of the world of law. And one of the big stories that came out this week was the dismissal of Lindsey Halligan, the very, very controversial figure in the Trump administration, sent to do a mission that she failed at.
Lindsey Halligan, again, one of those folks that probably will be a footnote in history. But for her, this is tragic also, right? Mm-hmm. She is a lawyer. She's an insurance lawyer. Should never have been placed in this position in the first place. This is one of those times when, again, responsible public officials, when asked to do something for which they're not competent, should say no. Again, maybe you don't say that to this president, but she should have. And he got it just right, Greg. Two judges this week, again, saying that she has to leave her post. You need to go. And you may wonder, well, gee, didn't we do this a couple of months ago? And the answer is yes. And that had to do with the indictments of Letitia James and James Comey, dismissed because she did not have the authority. And she stayed on. She continued to show up in the office, and signature block is still under hers. The judges this week, again, saying the president had used an unlawful measure to install her. And she's got to go. So she's gone. But it's low level tragic in some way, just because once again, it underscores the incompetence. Maybe that's the theme of this morning's discussion between you and me. One of the judges apparently along the way, again, maybe adopting a view from the governor of California about what he should do with the president, directed his clerk to post a help wanted ad for the U.S. attorney in Eastern Virginia. Another said the early administration defense of Halligan, which was that, well, she couldn't indict these folks, but the judge said nothing about her removal, which is absurd, contains a level of vitriol more appropriate, this is the judge speaking, for a cable news talk show than for a court of law. Those are strong words, and it also, again, underscores what is this administration doing on this is not the only U.S. attorney position that has been troubled where the U.S. attorneys have had to leave. It is a sort of circuitous way of getting U.S. attorneys in place, but it's not impossible. Do it right and you won't have these problems. In the meantime, you got U.S. attorneys offices out there who, again, there are interims and there are others who have taken the responsibility, but this is not a way to run a Justice Department. This is probably the lowest level of incompetence that we have seen. Other things result in huge, huge dramatic problems for America. Lindsey Halligan, maybe going back to the White House, we don't know. Mm-hmm. But again, maybe closing this particular chapter on this craziness coming out of Eastern Virginia.
Well, and that, you know, you said that just now, 24-hour news network. But earlier you said things are taken care of on social media, but that's the point. That's what they want. They want things that will get the clicks. They will get the likes. They want people who are going to the podium to say things that are controversial, fiery. I mean, that's half the reason why Catherine Levitt has the job she has, is because she speaks to the press the way they do, and they have to take it for their various reasons. But that it's not about qualifications. And it just, you know, the question I've asked you this before, though, Jim, there has to be somebody out there who believes in this administration's goals, who has the ability to do this work, and they're just not hiring them. Instead, they're hiring these people that look more like Fox News correspondents and who have zero qualifications. And she failed at her job. They wanted to prosecute Letitia James again, they wanted to try to do it again. They failed again. And I'm just wondering, is this the end of this chapter, or will they resurrect it maybe later this year or next year? Because Letitia James is persona non grata to the president, so therefore he has to get his revenge.
Right, right. And we've seen that again with Letitia James and with James Comey. And we mentioned the Fed Reserve Chair, others out there, Adam Schiff, even the former director of the FBI, all these people on this list. In a normal circumstance, my friend, we would look to a government and say, okay, learn your lesson from this. Do not go after your political enemies. Go after people. Again, I say that using only the president's words, not ways prosecutors should be talking. You pursue investigations. Mm-hmm. You should be prosecuting based upon the information, the facts, and the law, and making those determinations based upon the application of one to the other. You don't do this based upon a list that you happen to be on because the president doesn't like you. We'd like to think maybe that's the lesson coming out of this, but this is an administration that, again, tends to double down, as they say, and we'll see what happens as the weeks go forward.
Well, I mean, they are not learning their lesson because they want to go after Jerome Powell next. I mean, there is no self-reflection here. There's no time for looking back going, what did we learn today? There's none of that. They got to keep going to the next thing. And the next thing is going to be sports after the news with Paul Noonan, who is a writer for the Acme Packing Company, talking about the Packers, talking about the Brewers, talking about the Bucks. But right now, thank you so much, Jim Santel, for being here for today. We appreciate your time as always.
Right, good to be with you as always. Take care. Stay warm, everybody.
Amicus Law Review, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Saturday here on Civic Media. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay warm. Stay close. Welcome, welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal and friend in sports, because we're talking sports right now. But if you want to be part of the conversation at any time, call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. You can also do all that, call, text on the Civic Media app. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, I've got a friendly piece of advice from Greg to you, especially if you're looking for weight loss drugs, because if you see discount stuff, be on the lookout. More to come in a moment on that. But right now, we're talking to our friend from the Acme Packing Company, Mr. Paul Noonan, all things sports, one of our sports gurus here at the show. Good morning, Paul. How are you today on this cold, cold morn?
So far, so good. Battening down the hatches for what's coming tomorrow. So
yeah,
negatives.
That's a great reminder, folks. Just as a reminder, tonight we go into an extreme cold warning that will last throughout most of Friday, and then from Friday through Saturday, we are going to be in a cold, extreme cold warning. Watch. So just be mindful. You know it's cold outside. We all know it's cold outside, but this might be the time to pack a little extra, get those hand warmers, make sure your car is ready in case there's a breakdown. Don't want that to happen, but just
leave open the cabinets in front of your sinks so that the heat from your house gets to the pipes.
You know, that's really, before we get into sports, that makes sense now, because I have a friend whose mom is a snowbird, even though she said snowbird is an offensive term. I'm not getting into that. He was telling me that she was getting, he went to go check on the house, and she said, did you close any of the cabinet doors? And he said, no. And no one explained to me why, but that makes sense. I didn't even think about that. Okay. All right. So keep those cabinets open. All right. Well, Paul Noonan, sports and home help. Love it.
My house is 100 years old, so this is very important.
Oh, my good gravy. Well, yeah. Big news out of the Brewers organization. We're a couple weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting, but some big trade news from the Brewers. And I don't know if anyone should, I don't know if anyone should be surprised, shocked, or upset, but tell us what the Brewers decided to do with one of their biggest pitching names.
So no one should be surprised, but everybody's allowed to be upset.
Fair.
The Brewers sent Freddy Peralta, their best pitcher by quite a bit last year. Mm-hmm. One of the best, honestly, one of the best pitchers in franchise history. That is both good for Freddy and not great for the franchise. They sent him to the Mets along with Tobias Myers, a sort of underrated throw-in who was their best pitcher 2 years ago, but who Pat Murphy does not seem to like. And they got back prospects in return, that being Brandon Sproat and Jet Williams, and two young guys. And the reason nobody should be surprised is Freddy Peralta has 1 year left on his contract, mm-hmm. and the Brewers almost always trade anybody of any value when there's only one year left on the contract, and they're gonna have to pay up that to that person in free agency if they want to keep them. The Brewers are not big spenders. They're not as small as spenders as people often say they are.
Yeah.
But the thing about this one is that I think rubs a lot of people the wrong way is they gave Freddie a very team-friendly deal about 5 years ago. he's only making $8 million next year. And while the Brewers kind of keep their thing rolling by getting cost-controlled players back in trades like this, this has a pretty significant cost immediately for next year. Freddie, in terms of advanced metrics, in terms of baseball, he was like a 5-win player, meaning not like wins and losses from the pitcher record. I mean, like they should be 5 wins worse without him than they were last year. And they won a lot of games, but that's a big hit.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of depth at starting pitching. It's one of their weaker parts. They're great at creating bullpen guys out of nothing. They're less good at creating starting pitchers out of nothing. And they got a few guys coming back, like Logan Henderson and Gasser. But, like, this makes a pretty significant hole. It makes the team worse. I suspect the rest of the division is pretty happy that they did it. And so that's why you can be mad about it. Now, they didn't get back nothing. Brandon Sproat is a pretty good pitching prospect in his own right. He dominated single and double A. He had some trouble at triple A last year, but he will. There's a good chance he starts the season in the rotation. Mm-hmm. He throws high 90s. He tops out about 98. His changeup is good. His needs some work on his breaking stuff, which is why he was getting roughed up a little bit.
Yeah.
But the Brewers are good at fixing that, so he'll probably be okay. And then Jet Williams is. The Brewers have a type, man, and here's what it is. They love little guys.
Yeah.
This team has more short people playing baseball for them than any other team. A lot of tiny, grindy guys like Caleb Durbin. He is a shortstop prospect. He is 5'7". He does not have great power, but he has good zone mana. He walks a lot, basically. He walks a lot. He can hit a couple home runs. He'll probably top out around 10, 15 home runs. He can play shortstop. He can also play some center field, but he doesn't quite have the speed to be great at them. So they've got another like little tiny grindy guy like Caleb Durbin to throw out there. They've got a pitcher who can maybe spot into like the 3-ish spot in their rotation, but you lost your ace. So this is how the Brewers do business. Those guys are cost controlled for many years into the future. They're super cheap. They'll be on the team for the next 4 to 5 years. Hopefully one of them turns into something more than he looks like right now, but as it is, the Brewers, you know, are without a star, and they do this kind of a lot.
And I take comfort in the fact that this time last March, we were having this conversation of where we thought the Brewers were going to go, and we had middling expectations at best, and they managed to rock it pretty hard until they hit the NLCS, of course. But, I mean, still, it was an amazing season for them that no one expected. So I trust the pitching staff to look at their prospects and put together a rotation that will be good. I mean, are there any prospective stars in your mind of who can be that? Not a Freddie Peralta, because no one's Freddie Peralta, of course, but just saying, like, all right, here's a person we can put some trust in.
So they shouldn't be bad. It's mostly like Peralta was very good last year. You know, he got Cy Young votes last year, and that's hard to replace. But like, you count on like Jacob Mizorowski taking a step forward and actually pitching more often, not getting hurt, staying in the starting rotation, doing that. Logan Henderson looked very good last year until he got hurt, and he'll likely be back as well. They always have like guys who can kind of fill out the back of the rotation no matter what. It's just like Quinn Priester's good, but I don't think he's not going to be the star of a rotation anytime soon. Chad Patrick is fine. That's the thing. Like, they've got a lot of fine.
Yeah.
Everybody's fine. Brandon Woodruff in his current incarnation is probably, that's like what he is too. Mm-hmm. But they don't, unless Mizorowski takes a big step forward and pitches a lot more innings, he's really the only really highlight guy they have. Logan Henderson, I think, can maybe be that guy, but he needs to add another pitch to his stuff too. And like, we'll see if Robert Gasser had to have Tommy John. I don't even know if he's going to be back for the start of next season. He is probably their best pure prospect, but when guys come back from significant injury, you never know what you're going to get out of them. So that's what you're hoping for.
Well, we'll see what comes in a few weeks, because before we know it, they'll be in Arizona warming up, because that's what 3 weeks away from now, three weeks from now.
Yeah. I usually think of it as Valentine's Day.
Okay. Oh, there. Wow. My gosh. Okay. Well, we'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks as far as spring training in Arizona for the Brewers. But let's move to the Packers. They lost one staffer. They're keeping one on. Is anyone surprised about who they've kept on board for the job?
So, no. Matt LaFleur will be back. Yeah. Terms not yet disclosed, but he's coming back. But they did suffer a pretty significant loss. Jeff Hafley is going to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He was their defensive coordinator, and he is kind of a polarizing figure because the Packers' defense is hard to actually quantify as to whether he did a good job or not. Last year, before they got Micah Parsons, they were a top five defense with, I would say, not great talent. This year, with Parsons, they were kind of middling. And then when he went out, they were like the 28th best defense, yeah, which is not great. Defensive coordinators are hard to quantify, generally speaking, but he doesn't have a huge track record for success. And it was kind of surprising that a team jumped on him so quickly. But Hafley is gone, so they do have to replace him going forward. They have interviewed four people so far. The most noteworthy for Packer fans, the biggest noteworthy was probably Al Harris, who former Packer corner.
Wow.
Former Packer, honestly, former Packer great.
Yeah.
He's currently with the Bears and at a lower level position, working for Dennis Allen. But if nothing else, the Bears led the league in turnovers created this past year. Mm-hmm. And that is an area where the Packers have struggled. I personally think that's not something you can really coach up. Turnovers are mostly about the quarterbacks you face in a given year.
Yeah.
And your ability to catch the ball, which the Packers weren't great at. But Al Harris is a good one to keep an eye on and would be fun to have back. I have no idea if he's a good coach or not. I don't think anybody else does either. Anybody who tells you differently is lying to you. but he would be a good one to get. I would say the best person they've interviewed so far, but the worst person they've interviewed is Jonathan Gannon, who used to be the head coach of the Cardinals and is not good. Don't hire that guy. Durante Jones, the Minnesota Vikings pass game coordinator, would be good. That is a good pass defense. But Christian Parker on the Eagles would be a good get. They run a very similar scheme to what the Packers already run. He is a Vic Fangio disciple. We almost always hire somebody in that tree of defensive coordinators. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are a pretty creative defense, and I like getting people from teams that do something out of the ordinary. The Vikings are too. Problem with hiring the Vikings guy is their coordinator is Brian Flores, who they're having back. He's the best defensive coordinator, but you can't learn to be Brian Flores. He is just kind of a genius savant. Mm-hmm. You can only just be him. He just knows what he's doing better than anybody else. So Christian Parker's who I'm rooting for. Al Harris would be fun. There's another 10 guys out there that they might go for, but that's where the Packers are so far.
Do you think they're going to go and interview a lot of people, or do you think it's going to be these four or five and just make their decision? Like, when do you expect a decision on this from the Packers organization on who they replace?
I think it'll be a little bit. Yeah. I actually think they'll have quite a few people in on this. There, I think, is not a big favorite out there, and mm-hmm. there are a couple of weird outliers you can talk to too. I think they'll take their time. I bet they'll have another four or five guys in at least.
All right. And in the last couple of minutes, the Bucks, they're just, it's... Yeah.
You guys always make me talk about the Bucks. So
I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to. I know a lot of Bucks fans who don't want to talk about the Bucks, so...
The Bucks are coming off getting destroyed by the Thunder. Yeah. They did, to their credit, have a 2-point win over the Hawks the other day. But the problem with the Bucks is, part of it is it's just a broken record. The Bucks have no depth. To the extent the Bucks were ever going to be good this year, they needed to have fantastic health out of their six best players, really their five starters. And outside of Giannis, that just hasn't happened. They have a bunch of injuries right now. And the sign of a bad team in the NBA is one that wins, squeaks by the wins that they get and gets destroyed in every other game. And then they're getting ripped, man. I understand the boos that have happened. Don't boo Giannis. He's been great.
Yeah.
I understand why they're happening.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another edition of Sports Talk with Paul Noonan. Thank you so much for being here. Paul Noonan is a writer for the Acme Packing Company. He's here every other Thursday. Thank you so much, Paul. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay warm.
Yep, you too, guys. Thanks.
All right, when we come back, a little piece of advice from Greg. If you're looking for weight loss drugs, be on the lookout for a scam out there. I'm going to give you a little warning when we come back. Mid-mornings on Civic Media. Stay tuned, stay warm, stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome, welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host. I am your pal. I am your buddy here at the end of the show. If you want to be part of the conversation, you could always, always call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Don't forget to get that Civic Media app on your device, your phone, or your tablet, or wherever you put your apps. And please, please remember, I'm looking at it right now. I want to make sure I get this correct. Today, at least in the southeastern Wisconsin area, it's going to be in the teens, and that is still very cold, but it is going to get far more cold over the next few days into next week. From tonight through mid-Friday, we are going to be in an extreme cold warning. And then from Friday on through Saturday, we will be in an extreme cold watch. So please just keep that in mind. Below zero temperatures, far below zero wind chills. Make sure you're prepared. Make sure the kids are prepared. Maybe pack a little extra in the car in case there's a breakdown, like a shovel or some blankets or some hand warmers. But just be prepared. You can go to civicmedia.us and find out more about the weather. But we just want you to be as prepared as humanly possible, because that is very important in these last few weeks of extreme, extreme winter in Wisconsin. All right, coming up on the show tomorrow, we're going to be speaking with the genie of just about everything, Miss Terry Barr, Civic Media's very own Terry Barr, about the story she's working on that you can always find by going to civicmedia.us/news. And then we're also going to be speaking to Francesca Pica from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the Wisconsin Realtors Association's most recent real estate report and other developments around real estate in Wisconsin. So you don't want to miss that. Lots of great programming ahead tomorrow. But after us, stick around. Tom Hartman's on from 11 to 2. It's going to be fantastic. Then John and Gordy in the afternoon from 2 to 5. They're going to be talking to Jim Santel at 3:30. And then at 4:30, talking to the world-famous Madison's very own rocker. And on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, he will be speaking with NBC 26 reporter Hannah Lopez and Irish novelist Molly Aiken. So you don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. Stay close. Get the app. Hang out. Be a part of the conversation. We love to have you here. Yeah, it's always great to have you here. As we always say, we very much appreciate your time that you give to us when you spend time here on Civic Media. Now, today, I saw a story. This isn't so much a this shouldn't be a thing. I mean, it shouldn't be a thing, but I think it's more of an important conversation piece because, Calvin, I mean, you know, we all know weight loss drugs, they're called GLP-1 drugs, are a thing that are around, whether you're taking the Wegovy, the Ozempic, Mounjaro, I don't know. They're ridiculous names, Calvin. I don't understand why they come up with this. But I wanted to say something that if this is something that you've been interested in, something that you've talked to your doctor about, there is a scam going around right now. According to the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin, over 100 consumers have been targeted by online retailers claiming to sell drugs and similar alternatives across the U.S. In Wisconsin, three consumers have reported losing several hundred dollars. So basically what I want to tell you is that if you see something come into your email, something that comes across maybe as an advertisement on social media saying, hey, do you want to take Wegovy or Ozempic, but you just can't afford it, and we can sell you something cheaper, be on the lookout. Don't fall for it. Talk to your doctor. That's very, very important. It says scammers are taking advantage of high demand by marketing discounted off-brand drugs and dietary supplements. According to their scam tracker, which we've talked to Lisa Schiller about, one Wisconsin consumer reported losing almost $1,200 after purchasing a product she saw on Facebook. So, yeah, we have discussed this over and over again about the products you see on social media. They may not be the best. And we're not just talking about, quote, discounted weight loss drugs. We're talking everything from clothing to watches to whatever. Just always be very skeptical about what you see on social media that is for sale. Make sure that they are. You can check them out on the BBB. You can check out their reviews on Google, on Yelp, wherever they get reviews. But just be very careful. But in this situation, they are catching people on these, quote, discounted weight loss drugs. So if you see something, say something, get in touch with the BBB, with the Better Business Bureau, report it, let them know, because we have to keep this up and running. If you got family in your life who is on social media a lot and might could get hooked on this, just make them very aware as well, because it just you don't want to be a part of this. They said that it has tracked a series of popular weight loss scams from companies like Get Relief RX, Burn Slim, Coriage RX, Fitity, Green Vital, and Monha Burn that use AI generated content and false advertisement to promote products. We'll put this story in the show notes. That way you can especially be aware of these products that are out there, these product names. The scams often promote weight loss products like Lipomax, Ozemburn, and Prozenith, and include fake photos and videos of doctors or stars like Oprah Winfrey speaking about GLP-1 arm patches and the, quote, pink salt trick. That's the other thing, Calvin, people need to be. They are AIing. I saw a Kelly Clarkson video where they AI'd her into talking about a pink salt trick diet that she's not a part of. And it made it look like she was plugging it. So just please be aware when you see these weight loss alternatives, these GLP-1 drugs that are, quote, discounted on social media, be aware, do your research, tell friends and family. And if you are in the middle of something here, talk to the Better Business Bureau, report it so they know that you've been affected too. But that is just a little tidbit, a little piece of advice from Greg as we close out the show. I want to thank everyone here, Calvin, Tucker, engineering, traffic. Without you, nothing works. I'm talking into a microphone that's not on. I want to thank everyone who called, who texted, who sent a comment on the live stream. Without you, we don't exist. As we said, tomorrow, we're talking to Terry Barr and Francesca Pica from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, so don't go anywhere. Tom Hartman's after the news from 11 to 2, and then plenty of great programming following that. But you are wonderful. Thank you for spending time with us. As always, stay tuned, stay informed, and stay close on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.